You ready for the word?
Yeah.
Come on, let's just ask God's blessing on his word. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that your word, your truth, will be sown in our hearts. Our hearts are ready, Father, to receive the word. And I pray that you'll speak to us, that we will go from this place knowing that we have heard from you. Yeah. Holy Spirit, you're such a wonderful person and we love you. We thank you that you came to this earth in answer to the prayer of Jesus when he prayed to the Father that I will send another comforter and you're here. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll quicken the word to us. I pray that you'll cause the word to develop faith in our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 2005. Some of you weren't even born then, but 2005, I had the privilege of going to Indonesia with a friend of mine, Frankie Koo. Some of you remember Frankie Koo, he ministers in our house. And we were going to do 7 cities in Indonesia and minister there. One of the cities we came to was Surabaya, which is the second largest city in Indonesia. And he spoke to me about this guy that has a large church. And I said, I want to see this guy. I want him to lay hands on me. There must be something about his life. I want him to pray for me. Anyway, we got to see him. He showed us around the building. It was a dome. In fact, you can Google it, a dome. You can actually fit a 747 aeroplane in that building. 3 stories, seats 45,000. Sorry, 4,500. No, 45,000, sorry. When they took up tithes and offerings, they would send it down a chute to the basement. That's how big it was. And long story short, he invited me to preach at his church, which I felt an amazing privilege. But that's not the story that I want to talk about. His name is Alex, or Abraham Alex. I don't know how to say his surname. Tenuputra. Alex for short. And he told me how he started his ministry in 1965 with 7 members, and he called it the Bethany Church. After 40 years, 1965 to 2005, he had 130,000 members. And 1,000 churches that he had sent people out to sow around Indonesia as well as other parts of the world. And when he shared his story with me, I said to him, how did you start? What was the key to your ministry? What did you do? How come you got such a large church? When he told me, I was supremely surprised, or extremely surprised by his answer. He opened up to me and he said, look, I've had a problem with anger, a major problem with anger. And he said, so I said, well, how did you overcome it? He told me that God told him and said to him to develop a particular fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 20 to 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, no restriction. What fruit of the Spirit would you like to grow in? What is it that you need to grow in regards to the fruit of the Spirit? Have a guess which one he mentioned. Self-control. I was absolutely gobsmacked, blown away when he told me that. So I began to study it. And I began to find out the amazing power of this fruit in a person's life. In fact, after doing this study, my wife said, every time I feel like reacting to a situation, I know you don't, but every time she said, Phil, she said, I hear this voice saying, Glennis, self-control. That's the power of this fruit. and it would not let her get away with it. In fact, I tell you, it'd been a real blessing to me. Self-control. The definition of self-control comes from two Greek words, en, fixed position, in place, and kratos, which means power or strength. The strength to stay in place. Not shift ground, but to stand firm. And self-control is a part of the nature of Jesus. That's his character. And Paul says it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. So what is the difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit? Notice there's nine each if you look at it. The fruit speaks of Jesus' character. That's who he is. The gifts speak of his ministry, what he does. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3 where he says, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good." And in 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says that God has given us power, his power, dunamis, his ability, his efficiency, his might, to live a godly life. And then he talks about the great promises that he has given us so that we can become partakers of his divine nature. Think about it. You are a partaker of the divine nature of God. Isn't that amazing? You're a part of the nature of God. And then it goes on to say in verse 5-8, "But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love." Verse 8, very important. "For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." Notice what it says. If self-control increases, abounds in your life, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's amazing. That is amazing. Your knowledge of Jesus will never stop growing. And that's what we all want, isn't it? We all want that. It's important to realize that self-control does not only mean to be patient or not easily angered or not over emotional. Far more important than that, self-control is walking according to God's ways, not according to my own ways. Paul said it like this in Galatians 5. He said, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, the early believers did this. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, that's communion, and in prayer. They continued in those four things. But also, it's important for each one of us to be consistent, you ready for it, in our prayer life. Consistent in our reading of the Word. It's important that we do that. That's important. And ask the Holy Spirit. Ask Holy Spirit to lead our thoughts, our words, our actions. Like David, when he said to God, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth." We'll see the reason why in a moment. "Keep watch over the door of my lips." So back to the conversation with Pastor Alex. He went on to say, "I've experienced some of the most miserable economic conditions, along with some of the most abundant." And he said, "I give thanks to God, whether it with abundance or difficulties or sufferings, God helped me to live in the power of self-control. He said, many Christians are able to control themselves during times of struggle. They stay faithful. During those difficult times, they stay focused, they stay faithful in their circumstances, the challenges that meet. But when they start to get blessed, they have difficulty controlling themselves, and some even fall into sin. We must maintain self-control, whether in times of abundance or hard times. He said, I control myself during the struggles, and I control myself during abundance. He said, I don't find it easy. I've experienced ups and downs. Then I thank God for the guidance of the Holy Spirit who enables me to be in self-control in all conditions. Then he finished off by saying something very interesting. He said, poverty without self-control makes the poor feel inferior, and they often lose their enthusiasm for God. Whereas abundance without self-control makes the rich proud, looking down at God who had provided for everything in their life. See, the book of Proverbs has something to say about this. In Proverbs 30, it says, empty out of my heart everything that is false, every lie, every crooked thing, and give me neither undue poverty nor undue wealth, but rather feed my soul with the measure of prosperity that pleases you. May my satisfaction be found in you. Don't let me be so rich that I don't need you, or so poor that I have to resort to dishonesty just to make ends meet. Then my life will never distract from bringing glory to your name. Free from distractions. You know, if you're finding it hard in your Christian walk, and we all go through difficult times, I encourage you, stay in self-control. The Bible says in Luke 16, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. But he who is dishonest and unjust in a very little thing is dishonest and unjust in much. What he's saying is this: he who is faithful can keep himself in control, self-control, in the little things, will be entrusted by God with bigger things. And we see a great example of that in Proverbs 25, verse 28. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. There's a picture of a city whose walls have been destroyed, no defense against the enemy. So is the person who has no control over his or her spirit. They have no defense against anger, no defense against lust, no defense against other uncontrolled emotions that destroy the personality. Self-control can change struggles into victories, poverty into blessings. Self-control, keeping yourself in check in everything you do, like your thought life. Sometimes it's hard. Your thought life, your Christian life, your Christian walk, your speech, your spending, your eating, in your driving. Have I hit a nerve there? You've hit my nerve. I remember driving and I cut across this guy and he used sign language to tell me I was number one. I felt so humbled. I nearly cried. I thought, Lord, please. I didn't know I was number one. I thought I was number two. Sign language. In 2 Peter 1, 3, as his divine power, his ability in your life, his efficiency, his might in your life has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Verse 8, for if these things, self-control, are yours and abound, you're neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing. if you keep growing in the fruit of self-control, the Bible says our knowledge of Jesus will continue to grow, continue to increase. And that's the outworking of this fruit in your life and in my life. Remember, self-control is a part of God's nature. That's his character. Self-control is sometimes, it's hard to talk about it sometimes, but as Christians, we need to talk about it. Notice when Paul lists the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, he finishes by ending with self-control. And then he makes a clear statement. There is no law against such things. No law against love. No law against peace or joy. No law against kindness or gentleness. And no law against self-control. Do it as much as you can and more. There's no law against exercising self-control. And yet sometimes it's not as easy as it sounds. Paul talks about this in Romans 7. Paul, this great man of God, had difficulty at times in this area. This is what he said in verse 15. I don't understand why I act the way I do. Can you say amen to that? I don't do what I know is right. In fact, I do the thing I hate. I know that my selfish desires won't let me do anything that is good. Even when I want to do right, I cannot. What a miserable person I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is doomed to die? Thank God, Jesus Christ will rescue me. Thank God, Jesus Christ will rescue me. Let's all say it again. Thank God, Jesus Christ will rescue me. You see, self-control is not when I control myself, but it's when I allow self to be controlled by Holy Spirit. Self-control involves discipline. It means yielding your desires to the will of God. 1 Corinthians 9 says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one boxing the air or beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control. You see, self-control is different from self-discipline. Self-discipline is good to motivate you to achieve your goal. Lose weight, get fit, or whatever it may be. But self-control is motivated for your love for Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, I dreaded when I looked at my next point. What about the tongue? Oh, the tongue. We all have tongues, don't we? The tongue. Oh, the tongue. World's smallest but largest troublemaker. Anyone can say amen to that? You could forgive me, dear Daniel. Oh, did I get myself into trouble? Did I get myself into trouble? Several years ago, not in Victoria, but in another state, I rang up this lady, pretended that I was a radio announcer on 5KA, which is a Adelaide radio station. I said, you have just won $2,000. And she was so ecstatic, over the moon. Praise. Then I had to say, look, I'm sorry, I was just joking. 2 days later, I had a call from her husband from prison. He said, when I get out, you're dead. Well, I was already dead in Christ, but I didn't. I had to profusely apologize and I learnt my lesson. I should have gone to Specsavers. Or I should have, go on to James 5, verse 3, verse 5. Even the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. I kindled a fire there, and I nearly got burnt. I'm here to tell you, I'm here. Or maybe I should have prayed the prayer of David when he said, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch of the door of my lips. Psalm 141. So how do we develop self-control in my life? Remember, it's not self-discipline, but self-control. They look similar, but they're not the same. Self-control's goal is to love the Lord God with all your heart. Firstly, establish priorities. God first. This could be an indicator whether or not we really trust God. Do we believe God? Or do we just believe in God? A lot of people believe in God, but no relationship. Secondly, beware of rationalizing excuses, coming up with excuses. I can handle this. I can handle this. Dude, you fell for this before. And before. And before. You can't handle it. Don't make excuses. Someone may say, but I deserve this happiness because God wants me to be happy. God wants you to be holy, and holiness will make you happy. Thirdly, accountability. Surround yourself with supportive friends or mentors who can help you keep you accountable. Limit distractions. And remember, be kind to yourself if you make mistakes. Learn from them instead of being overly critical of yourself. And fourthly, identify the bait that Satan uses to easily trap you. Set boundaries, guidelines. Learn to say no without feeling guilty. You know, when you study the life of Jesus, he epitomizes the fruit of self-control in his life. When Satan said, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. Jesus knew that God's kingdom that he would set up would be the only kingdom. And you and I are in his kingdom. Secondly, he showed compassion to his disciples. He wanted them to pray with him. They fell asleep. All they did was snore. Got any snoring Christians here? And yet he showed compassion, self-control. He maintained self-control, the fruit of the Spirit, and endured the cross for your salvation and my salvation. That's Jesus. Many other examples we can give. Let me finish with this. Now that we've been made aware of the importance of self-control, I encourage you, each one of us, myself included, to take a stock of the responses to situations that we may encounter this week. How do I handle those encounters? Try and be aware that through the week, and ask Holy Spirit to help you. Self-control, ask him to help you. I invite you, ask Holy Spirit, show me areas in my life that I need to improve in this gift or this fruit of self-control. Because this is such an important fruit in our lives. Holy Spirit wants to help us. Because the goal of self-control is to love God with all your heart. Thus endeth the first lesson. Self-control. I was blown away by it. Have I achieved the ultimate? No, but I'm learning. No, but I'm growing. And I'm sure you are too. Let's pray. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you will help us to develop this fruit in our lives more than we've ever known before. That we'll take stocktake of situations, circumstances, things that we may encounter through even through this week. And help us, Father God, to develop this fruit that'll cause us to have a greater love for the Lord Jesus Christ. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen. Just while every head is bowed and every eye closed, I want to give opportunity for those here. You probably don't know the Lord Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you have followed the Lord at some time in your life and you're not as close like you used to be. I want to give you this invitation. If you want to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we heard it in communion. He died for you. He paid the penalty for your sin and my sin. And the Bible says, if you believe in him, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to pray for you this morning. And if that's you this morning, I want to give my life to the Lord Jesus. Could you put your hand up and put it down again? Just quickly put it up. One person. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Just put your hand up. I want to give you this opportunity. Don't let this opportunity pass. This is the greatest prayer that I can ever pray for you. For you to receive Jesus Christ. Anyone else? Just quickly put your hand. Forget the person next to you. This is between you and God. Anyone else? Praise God. I want us to say the prayer, and the church is going to help us. We're going to say this prayer together. And those that have put their hand up, you can come and talk to me or talk to Pastor Lee or one of the other pastors here. And they will share with you how you continue to grow in your Christian walk. This is the first step in your walk, the amazing walk with God. Could we say this prayer together? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I acknowledge my sin before you. I repent of my sins. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead for my salvation. I invite you into my life. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Be Lord of my life. And from this moment on, help me to live my life for you. In your name I pray. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.